Good morning and welcome to our Hebrews class today. We had a transition that took place. I don't know what happened with you, but for us, we had a transition. We went from a lovely, delightful, delicious fall to hard winter in one night. And we have now entered Canadian winter, which is a force to be reckoned with. So in one day, we have entered into a very cold time. We have some pretty serious wind here besides snow. So it's been cold. We had a couple of revival meetings yesterday that were greatly blessed. We're going to cover some of the material today in class that we covered at the revival meetings, which I'm very excited to be able to do so that you can be part of these meetings as well. So let's open in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just commit this time into your hands. We pray you would bless it. We pray you bless those of us who are present. We pray that you'd bless those who are watching from a distance. We pray, O Lord Jesus, that the spirit of revival would take hold of the people who are listening from all different places. We pray, Lord, that the seed of revival would be planted in our hearts, that we would become new covenant Christians. We thank you for this time. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We'd like to welcome our visitors today. We're so glad you could be here with us. And if anyone is watching and wants to come up and spend a few days here with us, you're welcome all the time. Whenever we're doing our Bible school, you want to come up and spend a few days with us, feel free to come up. We've got a few extra rooms set apart just specifically for people coming to visit. So you are welcome. And Matthew, you're welcome today. And we're glad that you're here. So today we're going to discuss what it means to be an old covenant Christian. Now, have you ever heard of being an old covenant Christian? If you haven't, you don't have to feel bad, because God has not heard of Old Covenant Christians either. In fact, Old Covenant Christians is not part of God's plan. And you think, well, that makes sense. And, well, that's only reasonable. And, of course, that makes sense. But the problem is, practically all of us are Old Covenant Christians. Practically all of us. And as we were discussing in the previous lessons, we discussed the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and how we keep reverting back to the Old Covenant, even though we're living in New Covenant times. The general tendency of the church since the early church days has been to run back to and revert back to the Old Covenant, and not accepting the new. Oh, we're great at verbally accepting the new covenant, and we're very proud that we have a new covenant church. And the more a church deems itself to be new covenant, the more proud they are of being totally new covenant. But the fact of it is, almost all churches, almost all of us, revert back to old covenant living, old covenant lifestyle, and we are in fact trying to be something which doesn't exist, which is an old covenant Christian. We're trying to be something that does not exist in God's economy. There's no such thing in his economy as an old covenant Christian, and yet most of us are trying to become that way. Let's examine why. Okay, we're over in Hebrews chapter 9 today. And it says, referring back, the writer of Hebrews is referring back to the previous chapter, where he's going at length into a discussion about the differences of the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and how the Old was replaced by the New. So today, in this chapter, he is referring to what he had mentioned previously, which is in our last lesson and the lesson before that. So now, in chapter 9, he's describing how the high priest enters once a year into the Holy of Holies and offers sacrifice on behalf of the people for their sins. And then it says in verse 9, accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. And why couldn't these sacrifices make them perfect in conscience? Because it was only for the outward man. Because it was an outward conformity to a sacrificial and a ceremonial law that did not take hold of their heart or have any bearing or impact on their heart. It was an outward form that they would be conformed to, but inwardly they were not conformed. Inwardly they were not changed. They were the same people going as they were when they came. They loved the world when they came to the sacrifice, and they loved the world when they left the sacrifice. And so it was an outward conformity, and that's why it says it couldn't make the worshiper perfect in conscience, because it didn't cleanse the heart. It cleansed them of sin per se. In other words, the judge pardoned their sin if they went through the sacrifice on behalf of the sins, looking forward to Christ. But it didn't touch their conscience, because their heart was not involved with this sacrifice. And that is why he says it didn't make them perfect in conscience. So they went before the priest year by year. They did what was required of them, but their hearts were not made one with God, and their hearts loved the world and the things of the world. They didn't love God. They just went through the prescribed ceremonies. And that was the weakness of the old covenant, and why Jesus came to bring us a new covenant. So, when I say that we as a whole, and of course I'm generalizing, so I'm not saying every single person, I'm saying generally, we are all reverting back to old covenant living and trying to make Christianity back into an old covenant way of life. And so we have instituted all kind of outward regulations that we can conform to in our various churches. And those regulations vary from place to place and church to church. Some churches require a lot of ceremony. Okay, we have churches that have all kinds of ceremony as part of their worship service. We have others that require, they have great requirements for the way that we dress and our appearance. Or they have a list of regulations about what's acceptable for a church member to do and what isn't acceptable for a church member to do. We have a certain conformity to worship. So in this church, we worship like this. We worship with our hands raised in the air and jumping on both feet. That's very common in Pentecostal and charismatic churches, to be jumping and praising God. And if you're not, you're not spiritual. So we have all kinds of various regulations in our different churches. And as long as we conform to the regulations, whatever they might be in our particular church, then we are Then we are upstanding members of the congregation. We're acceptable. And we are, in our own eyes, good people and Christians. But the problem with this is that it has no bearing whatsoever on our heart. It has no effect on our heart. So week by week, by month by year, we go into our certain, whichever flavor of Christianity and whatever denomination we might be part of, and as long as we conform to what the expectations are in that church, then we feel like we're perfectly fine and justified before God, but it has had no bearing whatsoever on our heart. So our heart is in love with the things of the world. We love the world. We love the things in the world. We love the approval of man. We love the pursuit of all worldly goals and desires and success. We love all kinds of worldly entertainment, which is despicable to the Holy Spirit. We thrive on and gorge ourselves on entertainment that is deplorable to the Spirit of God, that grieves the Spirit of God, and yet we gorge ourselves on this all the time. It's one of the chief offenses of the Christian church before God. We have become a stench before God, because we go before God, we say we love Him, but we gorge ourselves on the things that are abhorrent to the Spirit of God, which He has placed in us. You think the Holy Spirit enjoys sitting through the violent movies that you watch and through the violent video games that you play and through all the different things that glorify Satan, that blaspheme the name of Jesus, that come into your house, your heart, your eyes, your ears all day long? Do you think that the Holy Spirit enjoys sitting there? No, indeed. He is grieved by these things. And you're trying to become an old covenant Christian, which does not exist in God. You're trying to say you're a Christian and yet still love the world and have all the things of the world and be exactly the same as your non-Christian, non-believing, non-church-going neighbor next to you or all of your friends. How can your friends tell you're a Christian if you do all the same things that they do? Can your co-workers tell you're a Christian when you talk about the same things they talk about? You seek the same things that they seek. You love the things that they love. Can they tell you're a Christian? No, because we've made ourselves into a whole pack of old covenant Christians. As long as we go through some prescribed conformity to our church, then we think we're all set. But our hearts are still filled with the love of the world and the passions of the world and the desire to gratify the lusts of the flesh. So tell me, is that a Christian? Is that a Christian? No, that's somebody who's trying to become, to force the old covenant into the new covenant. But we have this one problem and we have this one issue. The old covenant was done away with. Altogether, it's gone. There is no more old covenant. It was replaced by the coming of Jesus. And so, it says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And when he appeared as the true high priest, bringing in the new covenant, he smashed hypocrisy. He destroyed the outward appearance of religion. He destroyed the outward. And he brought a new covenant that was all about having a heart in conformity to God. He walked right past the ceremonial washing bowl. He's with the religious leaders of his time. the big guys, the big guns. He's invited to lunch at the house of the big guys, the Pharisees, the rulers of Israel. And Jesus, in his typical courageous fashion, he walks right past the ceremonial washing bowl. And they're just like, what did he just do? They were shocked. He was smashing their hypocrisy. He healed on the Sabbath. He approved while his disciples plucked heads of grain and ate them on the Sabbath. He walked right up to them and he confronted them and said, your religion is a sham. It is all appearance. Well, inside of you, your heart is full of the love of money and the lust of all the things of this world. He confronted them, and he came to destroy that outward religion and bring a religion that is of the heart. He will have nothing to do with the show of religion. He will have nothing whatsoever to do with the show of Christianity. He won't have anything to do with it. And the same anger that he had toward the Pharisees and their sham religion, he has toward us. If we have a sham religion, if we have the outward appearance of Christianity and our hearts are full of all the love of the world, he has the same anger toward us. He goes on to say here in 9, 10, and 11. Nope. Verse 14, he says, now how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So dead works, what is a dead work? A dead work is anything that we do in the name of Christianity that is outward, while our hearts inwardly are far from God. Example one. We go to church fulfilling our duty of being a Christian. We go to church. Our body is there in the house of God. And we might be worshiping God. We might be singing songs. Or we might be jumping and lifting our hands in praise. But our hearts are on the movie that we watched the night before and all the things that were involved in it. Our hearts are far away, wrapped up in the things that have to be done this day on Sunday. We're thinking about our job, our contract, the something that we have to fulfill that day. We're thinking about our car, which could use a good washing and a waxing. We're thinking about getting out to the lake so we can have a barbecue and go water skiing. We're thinking about the lady next to us who looks better than we do, and we're envious of her. We're thinking of this one over here who offended us simply because when we walked into church, they didn't say hi. We're thinking about the pastor whose appearance isn't satisfactory because he's wearing something that's not to your approval. We're thinking about the pastor because he went too long in the announcements. Our hearts, our minds, everything to do with us is so far away from God, full of the thoughts of the world, while outwardly we're in church looking like we're praising God. That is what the new covenant came to demolish. This does not exist in God's economy. That's old covenant living. That's old covenant Christianity. When we have an outward appearance of being a Christian, but inwardly our hearts are far from God, we're trying to cram an old covenant into the new covenant. Can't be done. Because it says, until a time of reformation, it says that these things will be done away with, since they relate only to the food and drink and various washings and regulations of the body imposed for it until a time of reformation. The time of reformation has come. The old outward has been done away with, and the new covenant is about the heart. It's about the heart being baptized and made into a brand new heart that loves God. Says that he will write his laws upon our hearts. What does that mean, that he would write his laws on our hearts? It means a transition would take place. This is old covenant living. They had the law of God, and because their hearts were full of corruption, they were straining against the law of God. They were trying to get away with whatever they could and still stay within the confines of the law. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They're trying to get away with as much as they could. So they could lust after someone. They could murder someone in their thoughts. As long as they didn't actually take a physical weapon to them, then they felt like that they were okay. So they had the appearance of keeping the law, yet their hearts were breaking it all the time. And so, in the old covenant, we have the regulations of God and the righteousness of God, but our hearts are so far from God that we're always straining against and fighting against the regulations of God, and we don't want to conform, but we have to. And so we have this this difficulty in our heart, because we want to conform to God, but our hearts are so far from him that we strain against the laws of God. Enter the new covenant. The new covenant. God baptizes our heart to where the laws of God become beautiful to us. They become delightful to us. They become sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, as Brother King David says in Psalm 19. The laws of God become beautiful to us. We see the wisdom of God in his laws. We see the nature of God. We see the justice of his ways. We see that his laws were designed for our good, not for his good. The laws of God don't do God any. They don't do anything for God. He gave us the laws for our sake, because if we would have his law, we would live in harmony and peace and love, and we would have all manner of blessing. So the new covenant is that God takes our heart and he baptizes it, and he makes us a new creature that loves Jesus. And loving Jesus is the first and greatest commandment. And loving those around us is the second commandment. And so he gives us a new heart that loves God and loves people. So we're no longer straining against the law. That's old covenant Christianity. When we see the work of God and the righteousness of God, we love the righteousness of God, and we desire the righteousness of God to be reflected in our life. This is new covenant Christianity, where we see the righteousness of God and we long for it. We're not straining against it anymore. We're not trying to live like the world and then we got to tear ourselves away in order to do this religious duty and then get right back to the world, so we don't have to any longer, you know, force ourselves to go to church and then get back to do what we really want the rest of the day. That does not exist in Christ. That does not exist in the new covenant. And if our heart is straining against the righteousness of God, it is clear we are not even part of the new covenant yet. We have not even entered into the grace of the new covenant. We're not even Christians. If we're straining against the religious constraints of our church, we're not even Christians. We're just worldlings that are going to church. You can call yourself whatever you want, but you're just a worldling that's going to church. Now, if we want to become part of the new covenant, we lay ourselves before the cross of Christ. We lay ourselves down on the altar of God. We say, Lord, I'm here. I'm yours. Take me and make me a new creature in Christ. Give me a new heart. Baptize my heart so that I love the things of God. So that I love your righteous ways. As we pray in that manner, and just simple humility, God hears that prayer. He loves a prayer like that. A prayer that is from a broken heart, that's desiring to actually become a Christian indeed, not just a name, not just a body that's in church, that wants to become a person who worships God from the heart. When we come before God and we just say, Lord, I want to be a real Christian. I want to really love you. I want to run to you with my arms outstretched when I meet you. I want to be ready to meet you. When we pray a prayer like that, God will meet you. God will do a work in your heart. He will actually begin to bring a spirit of revival into your heart. And there will be a stirring in your heart, and you'll start to experience this love of God. You'll start to experience the presence of God. And you begin to love God. And as you continue to seek the Lord, as you begin to make God a priority, how do we love God? How do we learn to love God? Which is the heart of the new covenant. The heart of the new covenant is Jesus himself. How do we learn to love Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit, we begin to subject the things that take priority over him. We begin to subject these things. We begin to lay them down as the Holy Spirit leads us one by one by one. All the things that are separating us from God, we begin to lay them down. We just say yes to God. When he puts his finger on this area, we say yes to God. When he puts his finger on this, we say yes to God. Whatever it is, whatever is distracting us, whatever is our true God, whether it's our sports, whether it's our entertainment, whether it's our desire for money, whether it's our desire for recognition by men, whether it's success in this world, whether it's your love for clothing and shopping, whatever it is, we just say, Lord, I really love all these things, but I want to love you more. So, Lord, I just give you my life and I ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to crucify the things in my life that I love more than you, that you might be elevated and become preeminent in my life. As a person who's becoming a new covenant Christian, that's a person on the road to life. This is new covenant Christianity. And anything short of full surrender to God is just a sham. Anything short of full surrender to God is a sham. And I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect right off. You know, it's a life work to crucify all the things. We have so many false gods in our life. It takes a while. And so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you have a false god, you're basically toast and you're cast out. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on this, and says, son, it's time to put this on the altar. We say, yes, Lord. So that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. And he's patient. He's long-suffering. It could take a period of years. As long as our heart is submissive and humble to him, toward him. And we are repentant when he points out sin. This is a new covenant Christian. We're a work in progress. But we must absolutely come before God with the willingness to surrender our whole life and be entirely consecrated to God with a willingness to make Jesus first. And when the Holy Spirit deals with some area, that we are willing to say yes. And when we stop saying yes, our growth in Christ will stop dead. It'll stop dead. So we can make great progress in God, and God could cleanse us of a whole lot of things that are totally worldly. And then it'll get to our pet thing, and we won't let it go. And we just say, and we just ignore God. We ignore the Holy Spirit. We don't say no to God. We're too smart for that. We just don't do what he says. We just don't do what he said. We just don't surrender the thing he is calling for. And time after time and year after year, I've seen people make great progress. Then God gets to some area and they just won't let it go. And their growth in Christ stops dead. Now they're just going back, running back to the old covenant, trying to have an appearance of being a Christian, while in their heart, they're far from God. They love the world. They love something more than God. And so they're trying to be an old covenant Christian. When we make Jesus to be our real Lord, he becomes our delight. He becomes our joy. And guess what? This is the cool thing about God. When we become a new covenant Christian and Jesus becomes our all in all, we don't need the world. We don't need the world. We don't want the world. We don't love the world. We don't seek the world, because the Lord has given us a precious pearl that is of such great value that the things of the world become disgusting to us. This is the victory of Christ in the new covenant. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And when we learn to love Jesus, the things of this world become apparent and plain to us as disgusting. Am I correct, Josh? This is exactly what happens. That's how we can be transformed. Because the things of the world start to be disgusting and revolting and ugly to us. This is when we know we have made a transition. We have become a new covenant Christian, when the things of the world start to be repulsive to us because we have tasted the things of God and found them to be a delight. This is when we know that we are no longer worldlings masquerading as Christians. We are Christians. Indeed, we are Christians in heart because we love God more than the world, and it's not hard because the world is disgusting once we meet Jesus. And that's what the Lord, that's what the word says in 1 John. It says this: by this we know that we have come to love God if we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not a burden to us. They're a delight, they're a joy. We love the Lord's righteousness, and we have such an intense joy whenever we are able to conform to his righteousness. Anytime we get victory over our temper, over our eyes, over our heart, over our lust, over our passions, anytime we get victory over them, we have such a rush of joy because we love righteousness. We love God's ways. This is when we have become a Christian. Indeed, praise the Lord. Praise God. Anything short of this, we're just being totally ripped off. Lord, I pray that you'd impress these things on our hearts, that you would make us to be new creatures in Christ, that we would be Christians in heart, indeed, that you would baptize our hearts, that we would no longer serve you outwardly, but we would serve you inwardly from the heart. I pray you bless each who is gathered here today, and I pray you bless those who are watching from a distance. I pray, Lord, that you baptize our hearts, that we would love you more than the world, that we would not be worldlings masquerading as Christians, but we would be Christians indeed. Bless each one. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this book. May you grab hold of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I told you. Remember I said, yeah, stay with us in Hebrews, because Hebrews is very cool, very intense, and very convicting. So I think we have one more of this Old Covenant, New Covenant series on the next class, and then it goes into some other things. So thank you so much for joining us today. And don't forget, if you have questions, don't forget to email us. Just go to our website and use the email you'll find there. Come up and visit us if you'd like to. Stay in touch with us so that when we come around to your town and do a for a concert or a revival meeting, you can come to the meetings. So just stay in touch, and may the Lord bless you.